Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. In this episode, we speak to Lynn, a parent whose child was adopted after children's social care involvement. Lynn is frank and honest about her family circumstances and the impact of addiction and mental ill health on her family. At the end of our conversation, we've included two recordings that Lynn has previously completed. In them, she shares different aspects of her story, as well as of the support that she gives to other parents. We hope you find it enlightening, and as always, if you've any experience of adoption, fostering, or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through our Facebook or Twitter page, or you can email us at aandfpodcast@gmail.com.
My name's Lynn Ambler. I've got 5 children, and I've had social service involvement with my family for a fair while, and I'd like to tell you about my journey. My journey with my children and social services started many years ago when my first child was only a year old. My partner and I were struggling, so I asked for a food voucher, as it was back then. That was it. We were on their radar. We were all already addicted to heroin, and as it does, it's caused no end of problems. My partner ended up in prison. I found out I was 5.5 months pregnant with my second child. My mum died and I got off heroin. Things picked up a bit, sort of, in the midst of all this. I moved house just after my partner got out of prison and got on with some sort of life again. Ending an addiction taking over my third child came along during all this chaos. No wonder social services were watching us. Then the worst thing in the world happened. They were going to take my babies. They had seen I had no food in on a visit earlier that day and not believed me that I was waiting for my partner to get back so I could do shopping. They returned with the police that evening as I was cooking tea, saw that I was telling the truth and gave us another chance. My partner went back to prison again. I did well. Even moved from Lancashire to West Yorkshire back to my family. We both stayed clear of drugs for years. Then our fourth child came along. We found out when he was 2 that he had autism that I couldn't cope with or understand. I had been totally clean with him, so why did he have to suffer like this? Life went on somewhere in amongst all this. Social services were back on the scene. Then I had 2 miscarriages before having my fifth and final child. During my pregnancy, we were going through court proceedings, which resulted in me being pressured into putting my little man with autism into temporary care till I got into a routine with baby, who was having assessments done too. If I didn't, they were going to take all my children that day. I had 2 weeks of my pregnancy left at this point. My heart was broken as I gave the news to my older children. I felt like I had given up on my boy. I got accused of going to get drugs when I went to say my goodbyes to him during lunch break at school, even though I got the same taxi there and back. My daughter was born. And 20 minutes after giving birth, I was told that she was going to special care to be observed. I'd been told she would be on the ward with me for 5 days. I was breastfeeding and producing negative drug tests. Day 2, I had to leave hospital, but be there from 9 in the morning till 10 at night every day. Court proceedings were still ongoing. Then came one of the worst blows. It was decided all my children were going into care. I was cut down on my time at hospital too. The day my daughter was discharged, I made a point of dressing her myself, and I even carried her out of the hospital. Putting her in that social worker's car will haunt me forever. I went home a very broken person and broke my heart on my bed like never before. I had contact with all my children. Then it was decided my baby was getting adopted, so contact was reduced with her. Final contact was when she was just over a year old at the police station. Letterbox contact was hit and miss. So I had to be strong and say I needed to know. So that was it. They had my daughter, so they didn't want to know about us, her first family. Looking back now, I believe that social services needed to protect my children from the lifestyle they were living. It was just cruel the way they did it. As my children often tell me, it's the future that counts, not the past. And hopefully in the future, I will see my little girl again and explain to her anything she needs or wants to know. It's the least she deserves. I can see it different now because I'm not looking at it through drugged up eyes. I'm looking at it with a clearer head, and you know what I mean? My kids were living in chaos, Alan. They needed to be normal children.
You know what I mean?
My daughter was my little boy's mum more than I was. My one with disabilities, my eldest daughter looked after him more than I did. I couldn't do it. I were on drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It must be hard looking back.
Yeah. But I did the best I could to the best of my ability at that time, and I keep telling myself that when I feel bad. You did the best you could to the best of your ability, always.
And now you speak to other women, and you speak to other families and people who want to adopt, and what are the messages you give to them?
Keep us parents informed on how our children are. Let us know that they're okay and that they're doing well, what things they're good at in school, and you know, things like that, what little activities they like doing, the favourite colour even, the favourite food, whatever it is, just little details. Little tiny details.
Yeah.
Got to make sure we know. It's important to me that I know what's going on with my children. They're my world.
Yeah.
I live for my kids.
It must be so hard to be separate for them and know that their lives are going on.
The mammarical babies as well, because I've got what's called a bicornate uterus. You know what I mean? So the mammarical babies. So for social services to take away my miracle.
Looking back now, what do you think? Do you think there's anything, you know, that social workers could have done differently?
I don't think that we'd have listened at the time. We were too far in as addiction. They tried to warn us out. They tried to warn us. They did. They warned us, need to do this, need to do this, need to hook up. And we did try. We really did try. But not hard enough.
That's really honest of you. So
not hard enough, because we didn't jump through the hoops enough. There were certain things we didn't want to do. We couldn't be honest enough and accept it, that this were really going to happen. Went into denial like all parents do. Oh, that won't happen to me. That won't happen to me. But yeah, it will, and yeah, it did.
I mean, you are really honest and you're really open about your experience, and
I've nothing to hide. I've nothing to hide. I've nothing to be ashamed of. I was really struggling. I was a different person back then to what I am now. It was life. It was my life journey. I've learned along my life journey a hell of a lot of things that I can now give to other people and help them along their life journey.
So I know you speak to other mums and families who've had their children taken away. What are the messages you give to them? How do you help them?
There's hope. They're not on their own. There's people out there that understand how they're feeling. And I try to give them different tools of how to help them come to terms with it. And you know, like how we've dealt with it when they're saying something. How I've dealt with it when I went through this. Let them know that I recognise things and how I dealt with these things. Just as a suggestion for them that maybe it could help them.
Yeah.
Don't always help, because everybody's an individual and different. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? That handing it over one, the number of people that have loved that and acknowledged a lot of it and learnt from it, and some of them were already using it. one of the people I spoke to were already using it, but she were doing it by drawing it out. Someone had told her to draw her feelings out and she didn't understand what it is. It was properly. But then when I read my piece, it put it all together for her. And she understands now why she was told draw it out, draw them feelings out. It's her way of handing it over.
You've been really honest with me and...
Honest is the best policy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's easy for me to say that from here, but I think that when you say it, it has so much more power. You know, it's easy for adopters to think of the parents of adopted children as being villains or to sort of paint a really like stereotype.
One of the things that I worry about, man, is what have they told her? Just told her that mum and dad were drug addicts that couldn't look after her. Or have they now told her that I've got off the drugs and that I were poorly, it weren't a case that I wanted to do, and you know what I mean? She's 12 now. You're going to be asking questions.
And I think we've talked, and you just want the truth, don't you? You want them to paint you in a
real picture. I want her to know the truth, that mummy did love her and did want her, and that I were in the midst of an addiction.
Yeah.
Addiction's a disease. It's not just something I didn't want to stop. I couldn't. It was too hard. I had to do it for me. And hopefully when she sees the video I did for One Adoption, she'll understand that addiction's a disease, because I say it in the video, don't I?
Yeah. Lynn, I really appreciate your honesty, and thank you so much for sharing, you know, what you've written and what you've shared with other people in different places, and just for chatting to us now. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Been a pleasure. I had four children to begin with when I was pregnant with my little girl, one of which has got disabilities. And they decided because of his disabilities, it'd be better to put him into foster care temporary so I could get into a routine with baby. But they were worried because I were in active addiction. I were addicted to heroin and crack cocaine. And 20 minutes after I'd given birth, I was sat feeding her, and they came in and told me baby wanted special care to be observed rather than being on ward with me like I'd been told. And I knew then they were going to observe me with my baby as well as observing her. And I knew they were taking her away from me, but I didn't know for definite they were going to adopt her. I forced myself to believe she was going to foster care. So they said that they'd take her, and I said, no, you won't, I'm dressing her, I'm carrying her out. It's the last thing I can do for my little girl is carry her out of hospital. Got in my taxi and went home. Sobbed all the way home. Taxi driver tried talking to me. I told him where to go. I just don't talk to him, leave me alone, I don't want to know. Got home and I went upstairs and I just collapsed onto my bed. And my heart broke my heart. And I couldn't stop crying. Told me they'd found adoptive parents and they wanted to do an All About Me book for my little girl. And would I take photos up to the front, up to the Sure Start Centre, for them to be able to take for my little girl. So I took all these photos up. And she said to me, how did I feel about meeting the adoptive parents? And I wanted to, more than anything in the world, I wanted to meet them. So I could put a face to who was going to look after my little girl. Because I could judge them whether I thought they were a good character to have my daughter with them. But then they never got back to me on it. They weren't writing to me no more, and they entered, I think she was 4 or 5 last time I got a letter from her, and she's 10 this year. I put her in, I call it Pandora's box, where I lock everything away until I need it. But occasionally that box opens and it all floods out, and I think of her. Especially on her birthday, and recently, because it's been Mother's Day, I've had her in my head. I just know that it's heartbreaking. It's important that we're kept updated. Us mums need to know our little ones are okay. Even though we can't have them with us, doesn't mean we don't love them. We don't love them, because I do. I worship my little girl. She's my little angel. My older daughter's my princess, and my younger daughter's my angel. And I think it fits, to be honest. She's my angel, because she's not with me, is she? So she's my angel. I hope that she's happy. She's settled. She's doing well in school. She knows one day that no matter what anyone said to her, that her mummy always loved her. And I wanted her. Badly wanted her. She's in there and she's in there and she always will be. And I hope one day, in fact I don't just hope, I know one day my little girl will come and find me. She's gonna look for her mummy. She'll want to know where she's come from. She'll want to know her background. Or at least I hope she does. Only time will tell. Only time will tell. Just wish she'd write to me and let me know that she's okay. Take great care. That child you're getting is precious. Really precious. The most precious thing in the world to any mum. And keep mum and dad and any siblings updated on how that child is. Send pictures from the little child that the child's done at school on her. Little things that mean a lot. Most importantly, keep us updated. Because me not getting my letters about my little girl breaks my heart every year. Every year, it's horrible. It's horrible living with the fact that I feel I failed my baby because I was addicted to drugs. But it's a disease, it's addiction. There's nobody can do anything until you're ready. You can't stop it just like that. You've got to be ready to stop. You've got to want to do it for yourself. You can't do it for your children. As much as I tried, I couldn't do it for my little ones, no matter how much I loved them, because it's got to be for yourself. It sounds selfish, but it's not. It's not selfish. It really, really is hard, and people need to understand how hard that is and how heartbreaking it is for a parent not knowing where their child is, whether they're loved properly, whether they're looked after properly, and whether they're healthy. All I want is to know my little girl's okay, that she's happy. Handing it over. Through attending Mother's Group at my local women's centre, I have gained so much strength and understanding of how to deal with so many emotions. Knowing there is always someone who understands how you feel with a listening ear helps when you feel you are alone. You just need to reach out. Last year, I was asked how I felt about doing a video for an adoption agency to help adoptive parents understand what's important from the point of view of a mum of an adopted child. I was unsure, so I had to have time to think about it. After speaking with others, I decided it was time to let it go and tell my story. I found this really hard and extremely emotional, but I managed. I felt so proud of myself. In doing this, I handed over the guilt, shame and disgust I had felt for years. I also gained more power to carry on with everyday life without the extra weight of these burdens. By talking about it and releasing all my true feelings around it, I somehow felt a little more at peace with myself. The message I am trying to pass on to you all is, you don't need to carry this alone. There are people out there that understand you. You don't even need to tell people if you don't want, feel able to. You can empty it all out onto paper if you want, and either tear it up and throw it away, or burn it, then put it to bed forever. This is handing it over to someone or something else, and releasing the unwanted feelings and burdens you carry. It is much better knowing people are there for you, who understand. So be around and speak with like-minded people, who have been through the same feelings. it really is a remarkable thing to do and makes you see you are never alone. You are loved and you are worth it. My Women's Centre is a great place to find people who understand and are willing to help in any way they can. Don't isolate in your own head. It's a crazy time. Reach out, it truly helps. There are other organisations similar to Women's Centre who will help support you through this. Reach out, it's the best way. Unload those heavy pack on your shoulders and give the burdens away.